Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. She's back. Linda Rozak Burton came back, and I'm so glad. Talk about something I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for this. Linda's the author of Gratitude Heals. I don't know if you have that book, but if you don't, go on Amazon today and get it. It's part book, part journal, all inspiration. Welcome. Welcome back, Linda.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me back.
Well, today, I want to jump right in.
Okay.
I want to talk about remaining grateful or practicing gratitude in the midst of cynicism and pessimism and probably fear and despair and all that other stuff, but definitely cynicism and pessimism. I just added on the despair and the other stuff. So here's what I see, and tell me if you're seeing the same thing. I see in a lot of people a sense of hopelessness and helplessness about the state of the nation and the world. I've been with a lot of people whose concerns have turned towards pessimism and expecting the worst. And I can just tell you the truth that I have been finding myself in that camp lately. I have been finding myself just in a state of despair and feeling like, what in the world? What are we going to do? How'd this happen? So, what do you do? What do you think is causing people to be so negative, for the negative energy to be impacting people like me who are truly naturally optimistic? And I don't want to pick up the cantankerous cranky gene. I don't want the cranky gene. So what do you do?
Well, I think it's okay to acknowledge that it's okay for our brain to freak out because it's created that way, right? We're hardwired, that negativity bias that we come into the world makes us focus on what's wrong, what's negative, or survival, right? Is what the genesis of that is. But it's contagious. Negative thoughts, negative emotions, negative feelings are more contagious than the positive. So we're going to go right to that default naturally without any control. And we have a choice whether or not we want to continue thinking that way. Or as I said in the past, where can we shift our perspective? So if somebody is, you use the term cantankerous, is that it, right?
Yeah, cranky, cantankerous, all
cranky. That is exhausting.
Yeah.
Really, not only does it zap our energy, but we know in the long term, it impacts our cardiovascular health. It impacts our relationships. And so when we feel that cynicism popping up, one thing to think about is, what are the healthy relationships that I have in my life, right? That have shown up in my life at times when I just really needed them to be there. And did I express gratitude to them? So we can be cynical. I think that's probably more of a learned way of thinking, or based on the environment that we're in, we become very cynical. And it's almost like, again, like we said in the previous podcast, we've got all of this stuff covering up what's really good. And so we have to dig. We have to start cultivating that soil so that we're producing good shoots. Mm-hmm. You know, the flowers, the plants that really minimize the amount of time we're thinking cynically, and looking at how can I reframe it? Mm-hmm. How do I reframe that?
So the reframe sometimes feels like a lot of work.
It is.
It sometimes it feels like, good Lord, I just reframed this an hour ago and now I'm back at the same point. So how do we maintain consistent reframes? How do I, Joanne, maintain a consistent reframe and keep the pessimism from stealing my joy?
Well, I think let's look at the term pessimism. It is, it's, there's such an emptiness in pessimism, right? It, that hopelessness that follows, that doubt, that despair. And so when we're feeling pessimistic, if we can acknowledge to ourselves that is, this is not a healthy way to think. Again, we have a choice. We can continue, and we may, and it may be reinforced several times a day. And we do have control over our thoughts. We don't have control over how other people think, but we have control over our thoughts. So if I'm thinking something very pessimistic, I revert to what we call optimistic explanatory thinking versus pessimistic explanatory thinking. And pessimistic explanatory thinking says what's good in my life is fleeting. It's luck. What's bad in my life is permanent and pervasive. And so we can see how we can really get into this downward spiral of emptiness and isolation and hopelessness. And optimistic explanatory thinking is the opposite. It asks us to look at what is good in our life that's permanent, and how does that permeate every aspect of our life? It doesn't mean that we can, you know, jump up and down and kick our heels together 24/7, but it is, it's a skill. It's a thinking skill that we can learn. And you know, when we find ourselves kind of going down that pessimistic pathway, to look at, oh, okay, what's the situation that's making me feel this way? How can I define it as this specific circumstance, this specific situation? Acknowledge that. You know, we should never bury negative thoughts and negative feelings, because when we do, they just get stronger, right? So acknowledge it. Acknowledge what's not good, what's not going right, what you wish were different. And then to say, well, what do I have control over? And it may be really, really small. Right now, when things are so difficult, it may be the smallest thing, but I think we can find it. I know I find it. It's not easy. It's
No,
right. It's
it's
almost,
work.
what was the paradox? The gratitude is like this, the greatest moments in our life come from the greatest struggles. Right. And so, yeah, we do. I'm reminded of, you're familiar with the Stocksdale paradox? Admiral Stocksdale was a U.S. Navy officer, Vietnam War prisoner of war. And his paradox what is, have faith that you will prevail, but face the brutal facts. So what, how that worked in the, when he was a POW, was that he would hear some of the other prisoners say, oh, by this Christmas, we're going to be free, right? Or by this Easter, we're going to be free. And that didn't happen. And those prisoners of war would die. They would give up. But so his framework was, I have to face the brutal facts that I don't know how long this captivity is going to take, that I am going to be tortured, etc. But I'm going to have faith that I will prevail. Whether it's we pass Christmas, whether we pass the next Christmas, there's that foundation that really allowed him to survive. Now that's survival of a magnitude that maybe some of us are feeling today, right? So, how do we have faith that we can prevail? How can we be grateful? Who are the p important people in our life? W well, what is what, you know, what's our internal GPS that keeps us focused on the who and the what is really important in our life. Knowing that it's not easy, but we can get through difficult times. And that's the one thing about gratitude that, it's a predictor of mental health. It's a predictor of life satisfaction in the US for US adults. And so we know that if we give it time, if we give it attention, if we give it that intentionality that you mentioned, that we can begin to make room for getting to that to above the line, if you will, right? More of an upward spiral. But it takes more effort to get to that upward spiral and keep to that upward spiral, right? So it's almost like, what's the image in our mind that we can create if we're feeling pessimistic? Where am I on the mood elevator, right? Am I on basement floor down below, or am I first floor and up? And at the top of that top floor is, to me, it's gratitude.
I have heard you say, and I've been in your workshop where you talk about gratitude being healing. How does gratitude heal a pessimistic, cynical, or broken heart? How does that happen?
A broken heart. I think I've heard you talk about a grateful heart before. And I think a grateful heart is meant to be broken because it there's it's the two sides of the same coin, right? A grateful heart, we have love and compassion. And a broken heart is part of it, right? When we lose someone we love, when how we thought our life was going to be suddenly vanishes, it is healing. It is. I always tell my audiences, practicing gratitude does not deny the negative event, does not deny their pain and the struggle and the hurt, but it does promote healing, even if it's 1%. Even if it's 1%, it might be more than what we had yesterday. Yeah, and a pessimistic heart, again, there's such emptiness there that I lean into who are the relationships in my life that bring me joy, or who are the relationships even in the past that I can think back on and I feel good about that experience, or it puts a smile on my face just thinking about the fun that we had, or the time we had together. And even if that person isn't around anymore, I think we can still look at how are we grateful that they were in our life, right? Yeah. There was a study of 15 over 1500 healthcare workers, randomly selected, all job descriptions. And the gratitude intervention they were assigned was to write a letter of gratitude. And so the study was really to look at the efficacy of a single gratitude intervention. And so pre and post, after they wrote this letter of gratitude to someone, whether they were alive or not, they saw significant improvement in several areas of well-being: better work-life balance, higher level of happiness, and diminished emotional exhaustion.
Just by
So
saying thank you. I love that.
writing that letter.
I love
So
that.
I don't know if you remember the one program we did. Was it Chicago? No, it was out in Seattle a couple of years ago. We started the program by saying, "Describe your brain in one word." And then we went through the research and the science of gratitude. And at the end, we asked the participants to say, "Now describe your brain." And it went from chaos to calm to fragile to strong. It went, in that 1 hour, we made that shift in our perspective. And so make it simple, as we've said in the past, make it simple, very intentional. And wherever we can infuse that into our daily life,
Put it in.
put it in.
Put it in.
Yeah.
This may be stating the obvious. However, I want you to state it. Do you think that people who intentionally practice gratitude, well, I guess you can't unintentionally practice it. Anyway, do you think that people who practice gratitude are less likely to fret and to worry?
Absolutely less likely. Because the research shows it's a great coping mechanism, right? It helps us build some mental fortitude, some emotional resilience. It helps us manage stress much better because we're focusing on what is good, right? And I don't mean that in a Pollyannish way, but it makes us focus on what is going well. And it helps us cope with whatever. I mean, we tell people, don't worry. Does that help?
No,
Not at all.
not even a little.
Not even a
And actually,
little.
it sets me on my heels when people say, "Don't worry."
Right. Right. That just doesn't work. So it really is the individual mindset that helps them minimize the amount of worry, minimize the amount of anxiety. Because we can feel that growing in ourself. Again, what's the hook? What are we triggering? What are we feeling, sensing? Is it good for us or bad for us? And then what's the choice? How do we want to address that?
One of the things that's been helping me lately is there are a couple of scripture that I have learned. One is God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I find myself
Ooh.
just turning that on
That's
and
it.
repeating that and
Yeah.
repeating that and repeating that. Almost to the point where it's like, okay. But
I
it's been
love
something
that.
that's helped me and
Oh
continues to
gosh,
help me.
Joanne, I love that just because you're saying it over and over again, and those neural pathways are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I love that.
Well, good. Thank you.
Send me that.
Thank
Please send me that in the email.
you. I will send you that. I have two that I am really that I have been saying to myself over and over and over again a lot. You know what I forgot to do when we talked last week, I forgot to I told everybody that you wrote Gratitude Heals, but you do so much more than that. Can I just curve around the things we're talking about? Will you talk about how you educate people as individuals through your coaching, organizations, through this work on gratitude?
Yes. First of all, I have to ascertain whether or not how they view gratitude, right? Most of the time, I guess maybe I can say 100% of the time, I understand that they have gratitude in their life, that it's not a soapy, soft thing. That they do see it as an important part of their life, whether they decide it's an emotion or a strength. And then how can we use that even when they're setting goals and they're trying to come up with strategies? If they have gratitude as a strength, they're already able to make that goal a success. Right. So I can be grateful for what I've learned and how I've taken what I've learned, the knowledge that I have, and implemented that into how I lead. Right. How do I lead with gratitude so that it minimizes the impact of psychological safety? Right? People are afraid to speak up. How can I show gratitude when someone does? Right. That so it comes in and out of the programs I teach, it comes in and out of the coaching. When the individual is ready, when they're interested in learning something about it, and if it supports what they're working towards.
And you see gratitude being applicable both at the micro level of the individual and at the macro level in the
Yeah.
organization or in the enterprise.
MD, because if you see it as part of the culture. Right. I simply define culture as how we speak and interact with each other. And so if we want gratitude to be part of that culture, how do we infuse that into our different departments, how we interact with each other, how are we setting up policies and procedures so that gratitude is foundational to all of that?
You always make me feel better. I appreciate Too, I'm
Well,
serious.
there's a couple things that I think are important because this is hard. This is no way easy to do, but there are a couple things I think that the strategies that people can use to kind of help lift us. And one is generosity, right? If we can be kind, if we can offer help to for a charitable cause, if we can do something for someone, that generosity lifts us up. And what we get back from that is gratitude from our act of kindness, gratitude from who we lift up. Another approach is remember the bad things. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
Not to surface, this is not shame or guilt or trauma, nothing like that, but remember the difficulties, the adversity that you've had in the past, and here we are today. You have survived. What helped you survive? And who or what might you be grateful for in that? I think it's also important to create as much certainty in our life because things are so uncertain.
What do you mean by that?
I think that if we create certainty around a gratitude practice, right? I hear parents say we're going to sit around the dinner table and we're going to talk about one thing that we're grateful for. I even had a client that had she did have my journal, and she had it open in her kitchen, and the ritual was that she and her husband would write something in the journal once a day. If they didn't get to it every day, okay, that's fine. But that was a certain part of their life that they had that visual reminder, and it was for them to go and actually express gratitude for. Again, the simplest things are fine. And that reinforced the positive energy that they got from that practice. And then when the other read what the spell, and it's healing. It's like, yeah, I had a terrible day, but wow, thank you so much for telling me what you're grateful for.
I
So
like that. I like that. I told you we have the before you go to bed at night, best things about your day, things you're grateful for, just the conversation right before our nightly prayers. And it does. I mean, I find that it enables me to go to sleep a little bit more
It does.
easily.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Yeah.
first thing in the morning, we also do the prayer of Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Oh yeah, lovely. Right. Well, there's great research that support the activity before you go to sleep, that our quality and our duration of sleep is improved.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Absolutely believe that. I am so grateful to you. I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing in this world to help us heal. Heal our hearts, heal our minds, heal our spirits. So thank you, Linda, and
Thank you, Joanne.
thanks for doing this again. I know that you have been a guest before, and I just appreciate you being willing to come back and be so generous with your time and your knowledge and your energy. Thank you.
Appreciative of you, and I think if I haven't said it before, I just believe that your work is making such a difference to every listener. Because how can they not walk away from any of your podcasts and feel that they are in a better place after listening to your podcast? So I'm greatly appreciative of all that you do and bringing me along. I love that.
Linda, share your web address, your website address, so that people can learn more about Gratitude Heals and about the work that you do, please.
DRWcoaching.com.
DRW.
DRWcoaching.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You stay
Thank you,
well.
Joanne. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.